for your anointing for all of us that we are here, that are here tonight. Lord, anoint us, anoint our speaking and also our hearing and the whole meeting with your ointments. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us. Praise the Lord for this time of the conference. And we thank the Lord for all who came. May the Lord appear to us in this time. Praise the Lord. The return of the Lord has come very near. Just a moment. So, now. And that's why tonight, in the first meeting, we start with the last point in the outline. The last shall be first, right? We pull the last point, point number 10, and the outline, we pull it to the beginning. The signs of times announcing God's judgment, because the time of the Lord's return has come very near. And that's why the Lord wants to give us a deep impression to show us in which time we live today. We live in a very special time, which is the time where our Lord will come back the second time to this earth. Isn't that wonderful? Do you want to live in any other time? I don't think so. We are really rejoicing that it will happen soon in our time, in our days. And it's not just happening somehow and nobody knows. The Lord is gracious and full of mercy. And because of that, he announced his second coming with a multitude of signs. The Lord is not just coming back and nobody knew about it. No, the whole scripture shows us that God is announcing it through signs that nobody can neglect. So that in the end, nobody couldn't say, I didn't know about it. The signs are visible for everybody. I want to read shortly Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. What the Pharisees and Sadducees said at their time. Matthew 16 and verse 1. Then the Pharisees and Sadducees came and testing him asked that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said to them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and threatening. Hypocrites, you know how to discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Isn't that amazing? The Lord exhorted them, saying, what, you cannot judge the signs of the time? Verse 4, a wicked and adulterous generation seeks a sign, and no sign shall be given to it, except the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. There are so many signs already that the Lord gave to us, so that everybody should know in what point of time we live today. Also in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord answered to this question, right? Matthew chapter 24 and verse 3. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, this is an unimportant question. Let's move to the next topic. Was that his answer? Did he send them away when they asked the question? No. He used a whole chapter, an entire chapter, Matthew 24, an entire chapter, to answer this question to the disciples about the signs of times. So God gives us signs that we can realize how close this time is. And it's not just outward signs. But we believers, we also have the anointing in us. The Spirit dwells in us. And if we listen to the Spirit, we will realize and notice that the Lord wants to come back soon. And these two, they go hand in hand. The last years, to us and to many Christians worldwide, the Lord gave this realization in their spirit that the time of the return of our Lord has come near. And this sensation the Lord has confirmed in the last days through many, many signs. Also, Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. It's the first verse of Revelation. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John. He sent and made it known through signs, signified. What the Lord wants to do shortly on this earth, he announced it also through signs. He signified it. And may the Lord open our eyes to see what these signs are, that we know what will shortly take place. And tonight, we want to give a short overview of the three principal, most important signs that we see in our days today. The signs that the Lord gave us so that we know what will shortly take place. And on the outline, we mention these signs in a brief way. And I prepared some slides for that. So, the first signs that the Lord gives us in these days is the sign of the red heifer. Behind me you can see three red cows, right? And you may think, oh, this is crazy. But if you read the Bible, you can see the importance of these red cows for the people of Israel. In Numbers chapter 19, there's an entire chapter that describes how the Jews should bring a blameless red cow to purify this priesthood and the temple. Many wonder, why are there not any offerings on the mount of the Temple Mount? Why can the Jews not yet bring their sacrifices? Of course, on one side, on the mount, the Temple Mountain, there's a small problem. But the actual problem is not the location of the Temple Mount. The problem is actually the red cow. For the Jews to perform their priestly service, they first need the ashes of such a blameless red heifer in order to purify from death, to be cleansed from death. Numbers 19 is describing that in a very clear way. However, the problem is that almost since 2,000 years, there has not been any blameless red heifer. The Jews did not have any way to be cleansed from death. There was just not a cow available, a blameless red heifer. But through the Lord's wisdom and at the right point of time, this fact has changed. Many of us have heard that quite exactly 1.5 years ago, which is September 15th of 2022, five red heifers, blameless red heifers, have been brought to Israel from the United States. And until now, three of them are left. Those that you see here on the picture. And at the time when the heifers were brought to Israel, they were around 1 year old. And the Jewish statutes prescribe the red heifers should be minimum 2 years old so they can be slaughtered and burned to ashes so they can have this water of purification. And it is really indeed the wisdom of the Lord that He reveals this in our days, in our time today. I want to show you with a short example here. If you think of these heifers that were born in the year 2021, let us look shortly to the Jewish year of 2020-2021, which is the year 5781. This is the Jewish calendar. They live in the Jews in Israel, they live in the year 5781. This corresponds to our years 2020-2021. Now, you can translate this number into the Hebrew's letter. In Hebrew, each number has a corresponding letter. And if you do that, you see these four letters on the right here. Of course, it's Hebrew. You probably cannot read it. But those four letters form an abbreviation, an anagram. It's an abbreviation. And what could this abbreviation be? It's a short form of this phrase. You see the initial letters in red, marked in red. And if you translate this red heifer, it means it will be a year of the red cow. Just the number of the year, 5781, is the year where these red heifers were born. And just these numbers have such a wonderful meaning. It was indeed a year of the red heifer. So since then, we have three red heifers that are left. Ich habe schon ein bisschen runter. And they are just waiting for these red heifers to burn them to ashes so they can prepare this water of purification. So, and in these days, in this weekend, during our conference, there's a wonderful Jewish festive day, a Jewish holiday, which is named Shabbat Parah. This is the Sabbath, 29th and 30th of March, which is tomorrow, and the day after tomorrow. It's a holiday, Sabbath Parah, which means translated the Sabbath of the Red Cow. Of course, this Sabbath, they celebrated that every year since centuries, right? And at this Sabbath day, the Jews in the synagogue were reading Numbers 19, the description of the red cow. Why? Because they want to prepare the Jews for the coming Passover feast. Why? Because 4 weeks later, is the feast of Passover. And all the Jews know, we cannot go to the feast of Passover if we are not cleansed from death. And that's why at this special Sabbath, they read Numbers 19 to remind everybody, be washed, be cleansed through the waters of the red cow. The problem, however, was that there was not any red heifer. So they were just reading the chapter, but they didn't have the reality. They didn't have a red cow. But this year actually, tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, it's the first time since almost 2,000 years that there is a Sabbath para where you really have a true qualified red heifer which is in the right age to be offered. Isn't that amazing? So who knows what will happen? So this red heifer alone should show us that the time is near. And this red cow is so important that even Hamas, who attacked Israel, that they publicly said in a statement through this person there, that this attack on Israel was related to the fact that the Jews now have a red heifer in their land. And that as soon as they offer the red heifer, they know they will lose their mosque or this temple mount. The statues of the temple mount will change. And that's why this speaker here, this spokesperson, said this was the reason for our attack. And the Jews who live in Israel today, they are full of fire and zeal. They're just waiting for the right moment to burn this red heifer to ashes so they can start with the sacrifices in Jerusalem. And for that reason, they already installed an altar. They already prepared an altar in Israel. This altar is on the Mount of Olives in Israel as we speak. It's not located at a Temple Mount. It is outside of the camp because the red cow had to be slaughtered outside of the camp. So it's on the Mount of Olives. So the Jews have prepared everything. It is all ready. And now we shall see. We will see when they produce these ashes. And as soon as they have the ashes, they can produce this water for purification and cleanse the priesthood from death. And then there is no hindrance, no obstacle anymore for the sacrifices on the Temple Mount. This is an important sign of the time that our Lord will come back soon. Amen. Lord Jesus. But there are even more signs. It is not just the red cow, the red heifer in Israel. Another sign is the end of democracy. Actually, 10 years ago, the Lord already showed us that the era of democracy, the age of democracy, will come to an end before the next age can start, which is the age of the beast. And indeed, in our time today, you can see how the age of democracy is ending step by step. And actually, it has ended. So this statue here, it comes from the dream of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 2. And you can see how the Lord showed to Daniel how these world empires of the world will develop. It starts with Babylon, who was represented also as a lion. And then it developed into the Persian kingdom, pictured as a bear. And then it developed into the Greek king empire, which is represented as a leopard. And then it further developed into the Roman Empire, the long legs, until the feet, which is represented by the superpower, the United States, the age of democracy. And this is actually represented as a exceedingly strong beast. And actually, this whole statue is one piece. It is one unity. And in the foot, you get everything what you have in all the empires before is gathered and mingled into the foot. And this is actually what you see today in the United States. The United States are the center. From there, democracy started. And there it will also end. And this shows us democracy is actually defined by law and justice. In a democracy, you have a law, you have a constitution, you have laws that keep this system running. But what we see nowadays is a massive lawlessness. And this shows us that this foot, which is clay and iron mingled, it shows that it's about to end. And what comes after the foot? The short toes are coming after the foot, which is the age of the beast, described in Revelation 13. It is a combination. The beast is a combination of all these other beasts that we saw in the statue. So today, it's a really important sign of times that the age of democracy is coming to an end. And this is what we can recognize, especially in the lawlessness. I don't know how much we actually realize over here what is happening in the U.S., where democracy is really demolished completely, and it's destroyed from inside, from within. And there's so many examples that can show this to us. But our brother John Yao will show us some examples of the lawlessness within the United States. So Toby will translate for him. Yeah. Praise the Lord. So I will go on mute.
Ich möchte kurz etwas dazu sagen, was die Gesetzlosigkeit in unserem Land betrifft.
And as he said, democracy started with the United States of America.
Die Demokratie hat mit den USA begonnen.
And America has been the defender of democracy for many years.
Und viele Jahre hat die USA die Demokratie verteidigt.
And having been born and raised in America, I know the Constitution really well.
Und da ich geboren und aufgewachsen bin in den USA, kenne ich die Verfassung dort sehr gut.
And it is just unbelievable to see democracy being dismantled and destroyed.
Und es ist sehr erstaunlich zu sehen, wie in diesen Tagen die Demokratie in unserem Land auseinandergenommen wird. Eigentlich sollte Demokratie eine Regierungsform sein, in der das Volk regiert. Und damit die Demokratie überleben oder leben kann, braucht man die Pressefreiheit, Meinungsfreiheit. Aber Meinungsfreiheit ohne Recht und Ordnung wird versagen. Aber wenn du keine Recht und Ordnung mehr hast, dann gibt es auch keine sicheren Wahlen mehr.
Your eyes, then you know democracy is ending.
Und wenn diese drei Dinge vor unseren Augen zerstört werden, dann erkennen wir, die Demokratie ist zu Ende. Im Outline gibt es die Verse über 2. Thessalonicher Brief. Und diese Punkte darin, die erinnern uns dran an die Meinungsfreiheit und auch an den Zugang zur Wahrheit. In 2. Thessalonicher 2, Vers 10
says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness.
Und mit allem Betrug der Ungerechtigkeit unter denen, die verloren gehen, weil sie die Liebe der Wahrheit nicht angenommen haben, damit sie gerettet würden. Und deshalb sendet ihnen Gott eine wirksame Kraft des Irrtums, damit sie der Lüge glauben. Damit alle gerichtet werden, die der Wahrheit nicht geglaubt, sondern Wohlgefallen an der Ungerechtigkeit gehabt haben.
Remember.
Die Gesetzlosigkeit beginnt mit Lügen. Ihr habt wahrscheinlich alle von Fake News, von falschen Nachrichten gehört. Wir in den USA haben schon seit 2016 dieses Wort Fake News benutzt und gehört.
And when you have the entire mainstream media repeating the exact same lie word for word on every channel, every day, every hour of the news cycle, if you're not discerning in your spirit, you will believe the lie to be truth.
Und wir haben die Situation, dass die Hauptmedien, die Leitmedien, die ein und dieselbe Lüge Tag für Tag, Woche für Woche, Monat für Monat wiederholen, immer wiederholen. Und wenn man kein Unterscheidungsvermögen hat, dann wird man am Ende der Lüge glauben. Je öfter man dann diese Lüge hört, desto schneller glaubt man sie und nicht mehr an die Wahrheit.
If you listen to the news headline, that's usually opposite to the truth.
Oft ist es in diesen Tagen so, dass wenn du alleine die Überschrift der Nachrichten liest, ist es schon genau das Gegenteil von der Wahrheit.
So when you hear a soundbite where Trump says, if I am not elected, there will be a bloodbath.
So ein Beispiel, ja, wenn man die Überschrift liest, Trump hat gesagt, wenn ich nicht gewählt werde, gibt es ein Blutbad.
That is very far from the truth.
Aber das ist weit weg von der Wahrheit.
Because they took his soundbite out of context.
Aber sie nehmen einfach diesen Satz komplett aus dem Zusammenhang.
He was speaking of bloodbath in relationship to the automobile industry.
Er hat von einem Blutbad in der Autoindustrie geredet.
Not about violence in our
nicht über Gewalt im Land.
Far from the truth.
Völlig an der Wahrheit vorbei.
And also, they also do censorship now.
Und auch die Zensur ist ein großes Problem.
Right? You might think censorship would be good because in the name of not providing misinformation, you know, you want to make sure it's the truth, so they censor.
So, du denkst vielleicht, Zensur ist gut, damit man keine falschen Informationen bekommt und deswegen machen sie eine Zensur. Aber falsche Informationen zu verbergen ist einfach eine andere Art und Weise, die Wahrheit vor dir zu verbergen.
The situation is so bad that if you speak anything contrary to the narrative of the government,
so wenn du heute irgendwas gegen das Narrativ der Regierung redest, dann wird diese Sache vollständig unterdrückt.
It's built into all of the search engines like Google.
Es ist sogar eingebaut in alle Suchmaschinen, wie Google zum Beispiel. Die Algorithmen in den Suchfunktionen, die unterdrücken die Wahrheit. YouTube ebenso.
Facebook.
Ja.
Instagram.
Oder auch Instagram.
TikTok.
All of these are designed to deceive you. All diese sind gemacht für die Verführung.
And the worst thing about information being censored is in the universities.
Und das Schlimmste ist die Zensur an den Universitäten.
The next generation of Americans in the college campuses.
Gerade die nächste Generation der Studenten an den Unis, die hören immer nur genau eine Sache. Kommunismus ist der Weg, den wir nehmen sollten. Alle, die jetzt einen Abschluss machen, möchten gerne Kommunismus in den USA sehen. Ja, das sieht man, das sehen alle, die im Personalwesen sind und die neuen Absolventen interviewen. Und das Ziel ist, die Verfassung der USA auseinanderzunehmen. Natürlich braucht man Recht und Ordnung, denn das ist benötigt, um die Verfassung zu bewahren. Heute gibt es eine totale Missachtung der Polizei letztlich.
Ja. The number one crisis in America today is the open borders.
Das erste große Problem in den USA heute sind die offenen Grenzen.
Illegal immigrants.
Illegale Einwanderer. Normalerweise sagen wir illegale Aliens. Aber das soll man nicht sagen, sagen sie, weil es zu stark sei. Deswegen nimmt man illegale Einwanderer. Illegale Einwanderer strömen in unser Land. Und dann wird ihnen gesagt vom Richter, in einem Jahr hast du deinen Termin, dann werden wir sehen, ob du hier bleiben darfst. Aber in diesem einen Jahr sind sie frei, sich in den USA zu bewegen. Und sobald sie weglaufen von der Grenze, kriegen sie ein Handy umsonst. Mit unbegrenzten Datenvolumen. Und sie kriegen eine Bankkarte, wo sie 1.000 bis 3.000 Euro, Dollar pro Monat ausgeben können. Umsonst. Und wenn du in einer dieser Städte lebst, dieser großen, dann wohnst du umsonst in 5-Sterne-Hotels. Und in Kalifornien bekommst du sogar die Krankenversicherung umsonst. Es ist so schlimm, dass wenn du ein Bürger bist von einem anderen Bundesland, nicht in Kalifornien, und dann nach Kalifornien kommst, um dort behandelt zu werden, dann sagen dir die Ärzte, warum erklärst du dich nicht als ein illegaler Einwanderer, dann kriegst du alles umsonst. Es ist komplett gesetzlos. Wir haben einige Geschwister nach San Diego gebracht, für was anzuschauen. A drop-off, okay. Es ist jetzt ein Ort, wo man die ganzen illegalen Einwanderer hinbringt.
So
Und jetzt möchten sie ihnen sogar das Recht zu wählen geben und sogar Waffen zu tragen.
And even at another level, it's in the state of California, in the name of reducing prison population.
Und in Kalifornien ist es so, dass im Namen der, dass man eben das Gefängnis räumen möchte.
So zu, if you steal up to $950, you don't go to jail.
Wenn du also bis zu $950 Diebstahl begehst, dann wirst du nicht verurteilt. Kriegst du nur eine Art Strafzettel.
So people can just walk into these retail stores and as long as they steal up to $950, they can walk out with all of that every single day.
So diese Leute können also einfach in den Supermarkt gehen und so viel mitnehmen, wie sie möchten, bis zu $950 und können wieder gehen und sind frei.
And one verse I like to quote here because it really highlights what we're talking about is Isaiah chapter 5 verse 20.
Ich wollte noch Jesaja 5 Vers 20 lesen.
It says, woe to those who call evil good and good evil.
Wehe denen, die Böses gut und Gutes böse nennen. Ich habe mir nie geträumt, dass so ein Vers in unserem Land Realität wird.
So,
wenn du dich einfach selbst schützen willst, als Bürger, wirst du vom Gesetz bestraft. Auch wenn du zu Antifa gehörst, also zu den Linksradikalen, und gewalttätig wirst, dann läufst du einfach weg, ohne dafür bestraft zu werden. Es haben sogar illegale Einwanderer Polizei verprügelt, und es ist auf Video aufgenommen, komplett verprügelt und gingen ungestraft davon. Aber auch das Gerichtssystem ist bis zum oberen Gerichtshof komplett korrupt. Sie lassen nicht einmal den Staat von Texas, erlauben sie ihm nicht, ihre Grenzen zu beschützen.
So this is lawlessness.
Das ist die Gesetzlosigkeit.
It's absolutely evil.
Komplett böse.
And then, of course, they said secure elections.
Natürlich gibt es auch dieses Wort sichere Wahlen. Wenn man wenn der Fluss der Informationen zu den Menschen nicht frei ist und du nicht Recht und Ordnung hast, dann kann man auch keine sichere Wahlen haben. Und dann geschieht natürlich Wahlbetrug. In den USA brauchst du nicht mal ein Personalausweis, um wählen zu gehen. Es gibt diese Strategie hier, dass du einfach wählen kannst, wie und was du willst. Und so kann man nie eine faire Wahl haben. Und dann wird auch die Polizei oder ja, die aufgebracht gegen politische Feinde oder politische Gegner, pardon.
Ja.
Und erfinden falsche Verbrechen gegen diese Leute.
Ja.
Und Anklagen, danke. Alle Anklagen, die sie gegen Präsident Trump erhoben haben, grundlose Anklagen, gibt es überhaupt keinen Beweis, dass er ein Verbrechen begangen hat.
But unfortunately, you know, we're supposed to be in a lawful country. You are innocent until proven guilty.
Aber in unserem Land ist es so, du bist normalerweise so, du bist unschuldig, bis du eines Verbrechens überführt wurdest. Aber jetzt ist es umgedreht. Ja? Du bist schuldig, bis du dich selbst als unschuldig erwiesen hast. Und wenn man es sich anschaut, dann sieht man, dass genau die Anklagen, die sie gegen Trump erhoben haben, sind genau diese Dinge, die sie selber begangen haben. Auch das FBI wird dazu benutzt, politische Gegner aus dem Weg zu schaffen. Und alle, die sie unterstützen, werden auch verfolgt.
So, you know, at the end, I would say, just before we flew out here, Sharon and I were talking, the entire government of the United States have been completely compromised.
So, die ganzen USA wurden faktisch komplett unterwandert.
The executive level with the president, the legislative with the Congress, and the judicial with the Supreme Court, all are corrupt.
Ja, vom Präsidenten und bis zum Gerichtshof und alle Ebenen der Macht sind komplett untergraben. Und es gibt hier gar keine Zukunft der Demokratie in den USA. Und wenn es so weitergeht, glaube ich gar nicht, dass wir bis November kommen, überhaupt, bis zu den Wahlen.
Wenn die United States Democracy falls,
so, wenn die Demokratie in den USA fällt, dann werden alle Demokratien der Welt zusammenstürzen. Möge der Herr uns aufwecken zu sehen, was wirklich auf sich geht. Ich hoffe, dass ihr ein bisschen gesehen habt, wie böse die ganze Situation ist und die Demokratie vor unseren Augen zerstört wird. Amen. Okay. Oh, thanks. Amen.
Amen. It's an important sign of the time, the end of democracy. Lord, we praise you. Amen. Have mercy on us. Amen. Yeah. We also want to reach to the third point, which is point A on the outline. God's sign in heaven. It's amazing that we don't just have the signs of times in Israel concerning the red heifer, and also the global situation, the end of democracy. No, the Bible also shows us that each time when God was judging, he announced it through signs in heaven. And this is amazing. If you read the scriptures, I just want to read out some examples. For example, the judgment on Egypt. For example, Ezekiel 32 and verse 7. Ezekiel 32 and verse 7. When I put out your light in Egypt, meaning, speaking of Egypt, I will cover the heavens and make its stars dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of the heavens I will make dark over you and bring darkness upon your land, says the Lord God. So even when God was judging Egypt, he announced his judgment through darkening the sky, darkening the stars. And the same thing goes with Babylon. Babylon in Isaiah chapter 13. Isaiah chapter 13 and verse 10. At the time when God judged Babylon, he said, "For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. So also when God judged Babylon, God darkened the sun and did not let her light shine. And also when our Lord was crucified, when he died for the sin of the world, the sun also was darkened. And there it was dark in these hours. And the same thing we can see at the sixth seal. In Revelation chapter 6, this is what the world will see soon. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 12. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. So we can see each time when God's judgment came, that he announced his judgment in the heavens, in the sky. So we also need to see what the Lord is showing in our time in the heaven. And this is what we're going to see now. Oh, I need to change the mode here so you can see the slide. So. Now. Okay, here we go. So here we can see a map of the United States. And we just want to show something shortly here. In the year 2017, almost 7 years ago, in August, there was a solar eclipse over the United States. And in this picture, you can see the path of the solar eclipse. From the top left, this central shadow was moving over the United States until North Carolina, almost Florida, South Carolina. This was the only solar eclipse, I don't know in how many decades, that was moving only over the United States and no other country. And this happened 7 years ago already. And we can see something very special that happened in this time back then already. There are cities in the United States that are named Salem. It means peace, right? Translated. So the name of the city is Peace. And in this map, you can see where are the cities that are named Salem. Where are the cities located that are named Salem? Almost all of them, except this one gray spot, almost all of them are located in the central shadow of the solar eclipse. This is astonishing. Seven cities. There are seven cities that are named Salem. At least five plus two are there. And even at that time, we already can see that Salem means peace, translated, right? And in the year 2017, we know that this is the first year of Trump's presidency, right? And in that time, God brought this man to power to bring peace in this country. During his presidency, there was no war, the borders were secured, and there are many other things happened that made this country safe. But, however, this peace, in the years after, was removed completely from this country. So the peace was darkened. The peace was darkened. There were so many inside conflicts and wars in this country. So much lawlessness and evilness. Everything else than peace. And this culminated in the election fraud in the year 2020, where somebody else was installed as president who represents everything else but peace. So we can see already 7 years ago that God already warned us through such a sign that the peace should come, but it was taken away. And just as our brother shared with us, today the peace is almost completely gone from this country. And this happened 7 years ago. And now, almost 7 years later, in our time, at the 8th of April, April 8th, in a few days from now, there is another total solar eclipse over the United States. I will remove these salams. So this path of the solar eclipse coming on April 8th, it has this path here, starting at the bottom left over Mexico, crossing the U.S. and ending in Canada. So it creates an X, a cross, over the U.S. Isn't that amazing? It looks like God is marking this country like a cross. You mark that thing. You mark it for judgment. And surprisingly, there was in the past, there was already such an X over the United States, created from two solar eclipses, just the same as here. And this was in the year 1807 and 1811. So it's quite a while ago. And you can read it yourself in the books. But in that year, after this X was completed over the U.S., 3 months later, the greatest and worst earthquake happened in the United States at a scale of 7 to 8 on the earthquake scale. This earthquake was so strong, and heavy that the river, the Mississippi River, was flowing backward, and the church bells of a bell 2,000 kilometers away were even ringing and shaking. This is the New Madrid earthquake. You can read it yourself. This happened in the history. We will see what the Lord will do in our days. But if we look at these paths here, if we zoom in, the central shadow of the coming solar eclipse on April 8th, then we will also notice some amazing details. The first, you may see it here, this is the border, this line marks the border between Mexico and the U.S. And just as John Yao spoke, the greatest problem of the U.S. today is this illegal immigration, which is actually an invasion. This invasion happens at a place that is named Eagle Pass. This invasion is at Eagle Pass, which is here at this green spot. So exactly in this center of the solar eclipse, it seems as if the solar eclipse shows us here, this is the end of the age of democracy. 10,000s of illegal immigrants even attacking the police are crossing the border here at Eagle Pass. This is darkness. That's why there's a solar eclipse over this area. And if we follow the path of the solar eclipse, the the next important city for us is Jonah. The next important city on this path is Jonah. And what does Jonah remind us of? It reminds us of the prophet Jonah, who went to the city of Nineveh to tell us 40 days and judgment will come. So if we follow this path and we look at the next stops here, we can see on the path there are actually two cities. And guess how they're named? They're named Nineveh. Nineveh. So this path is crossing two cities named Nineveh. And they're not just two, there are more of them, right? These two are in the central solar eclipse. The number two is the number of testimony, right? And there are even six more cities named Nineveh who all live along this path of the solar eclipse. All these spots in orange are cities named Nineveh. Isn't that amazing? And if we look at the history, we can see that with the Assyrian people in the former times, in their chronicles, the Assyrian chronicles, it's a scripture of the old ages, there was documented a solar eclipse in the year, let me look it up, 763 BC, before Christ. They documented a solar eclipse over Assyria. You can look at these documents in a museum in England. And this solar eclipse, it crossed exactly the capital of Assyria. And the capital of Assyria was Nineveh. It was Nineveh. And if we read into the Bible and also in these historical documents, that then you realize that exactly this year when the Assyrians documented the solar eclipse, that in that year the king of Jerusalem was Jeroboam II. And this year, this king of Jeroboam II was exactly the time where the prophet Jonah was prophesying and also the prophet Amos. So there are many saying that this solar eclipse is 763 before Christ that was crossing over Nineveh. It moved the people of Nineveh to repent. So Jonah, he was preaching there and the whole city repented to God. Of course, it was through his preaching. But God also warned all the inhabitants of Nineveh through this visible sign, warning them and saying, look, there's a judgment coming if you don't repent. That's why Jonah and Nineveh is an important point for us to see when God's judgment is coming. And there's also something positive in this X, right? Because close to the center, close to this cross point, there is another city named Rapture, marked in blue. Rapture means, of course, rapture. Maybe we should move there, right? Well, I don't know if that helps a lot. But yeah, it's striking. It's astonishing. It's near to this crossing point. And there's another dot marked in green. This is the place where some people built an ark in original size, and according to the specification of Noah. They build it up, and it's like a museum. So the Ark of Noah is also there. And the final point, which is an important point, at the point, the crossing of this X, there is the county, a region. It's a whole region there in the state of Illinois. And this orange area is named Little Egypt. It's named Little Egypt. And down there is even a city named Cairo, in the middle of Illinois. Shams, the sister here, you come from Egypt, right? Here is the area of Little Egypt. And this cross, it happens to be exactly above Egypt, Little Egypt. This shows us that God will judge this world soon. It's pointing to the judgment over this world, indicated through the solar eclipse 7 years ago and now coming on April 8th. So God will judge this world. This is what the sun is showing us already. And now we are reaching the final point. It is not only the sun, but also the stone. Yeah, we forgot about the stone. He will crush the feet. But also the stars in the sky have an important role. Here you can see a view of the sky. Standing on the earth, you see on right and left the horizon. And in the center, you see the solar eclipse that we just spoke about. Right here, this is the date on the bottom right, April 8th, 2024. So this is the picture that you're going to see on April 8th, looking up to the sky. And you see the sun and the moon super in front of each other. And that's not the only thing. But exactly on that day, all the seven planets are lined up in one line together with the sun. Why do I say all the seven? Of course, there are eight, which is the earth on which we stand. Besides the earth, there are seven more planets, starting from Uranus until Mars. I just enlarged them a bit so you can see it better. So God lined them up. And I don't know how seldom this happens, that all the stars, all the planets are lined up. And in the center, you have the solar eclipse with the moon. What a sign is that? This shows that God will not only shake the earth, like Hebrews 12 says, not only the earth, but also the heavens will be shaken. That's why there's not only the signs on the earth through the solar eclipse, but also in the heavens. In the sky, you can see a line, a row of planets that announce the coming of Christ. And some of these planets are so bright that you can see them with your bare eye. You don't even need a telescope for that. They are announcing the coming of Christ. And now, you know, of course, the constellation of stars. For example, Orion or the seven stars, they are mentioned in Job and also in Amos. So if we put them here, they are illustrated here. On the top left, you see the Orion. He's quite known through the book of Job. And if you look carefully, you see this line of the planets with the sun in the midst. In the middle, you see it's right above the constellation of the whale. What does the whale remind you of? It's again the story of Jonah. Jonah was swallowed by the whale, right? Maybe our brother Jonah should give this message. Isn't that astonishing? Let us go back to this picture. There's one final sign for today that we see in this order of God. We are still here on April 8th. This is 10 days away from today, from now. There is somebody that invades this row here, which is a special comet. It's a comet. And his line, his route, is along these yellow arrows. It's a special comet. Why? Because, first of all, it happens that he only comes every 71 years. Once in 71 years, he is visible. He can be seen from the Earth. So once in your life, you can actually see this comet. And the day when we have the solar eclipse, this comet is also appearing. And amazingly, there is this comet 100 times brighter than normal comets because of some special explosion on the surface. But the actual amazing thing about this comet is that he has a special name. His official name is Tonks Brooks, but his special name is Teufels Comet, the comet of the devil. Why? Because he looks like the devil with two horns. Even this article here, it comes from the newspaper named Mercury, which is also an interesting side fact. The headline says, only visible only every 71 years, the comet of the devil is speeding in direction of Earth. Isn't that amazing? The devil always wants to sneak in and get into the things that God is doing. Through this wonderful line of planets, God wants to show us that his son is coming back. And in that right moment, the comet of the devil is also there showing us and interfering and trying to distract us. So it's not just the earth or the Bible, but the whole universe plays a role in this second coming. In Revelation chapter 12, the male child is raptured to the throne. And what happens next? There's a war starting in heavens between Satan and the archangel Michael. And the result of this war is that Satan is cast down to this earth. Revelation 12, the fifth trumpet, there's a star falling down. There's the comet of the devil, who wants to destroy this heavenly order. Just as in Garden Eden, he also appeared to destroy God's order. And also here, he wants to interfere. And when this judgment comes, God will not only judge the earth, but also the whole heavens. All everything will be shaken so that the things remain that cannot be shaken. So the time is really near. We don't know what will happen the next weeks and the next few months. The Lord knows, but we need to be ready. The time is really near. That's why that's the end. It's fitting. What about the stone from heaven? You mean in Daniel chapter 2? So we go back to this statue. 1 second. Here you see the stone from the heaven, stone from heaven, hitting the foot of the statue, then destroys the whole image. The stone is not hitting the head of the statue, which we would think of, which we would do, but he is hitting the foot. This means that this judgment will hit democracy. And when this stone hits the foot, the whole statue will collapse and will be destroyed. And this is the end of the times of the nations. And then this stone will fill the whole earth and bring the millennial kingdom to this earth. What a wonderful hope that is. Praise the Lord. Amen. This is good enough for today. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for such a clear trumpet. Lord, we want to be ready when you come. Thank you, Lord, for your great mercy that you are warning your people. Lord, we pray that you write all these signs on our hearts, that we take it seriously and prepare for your coming. Lord, when you're speaking to us in these days, we want to receive it and bring much fruit. Lord, help us to be not only hearers, but doers, to reach full maturity. Amen. Lord Jesus. There's a question. So why do all democracies collapse if the democracy in the United States is collapsing? So what can I say? It doesn't mean that all the democracies will collapse, but the whole world will collapse, right? Can you imagine without the United States? Actually, God was ruling over all the nations. That's why we see in this image that the times of the nations started with the Babylonian Empire, with Nebuchadnezzar. And at that time, the Babylonian Empire was ruling over the world. And afterwards came the Persian Empire and took over the Babylonian Empire, right? So God installed the Persian Empire because Israel was fallen. So God gave the rule, the dominion, he gave it to the nations. So at that time, the times of the nations started. So God used these main empires, these principal empires, to have influence over all the other empires or kingdoms of this earth. Afterwards came Alexander the Great, and he was very quick, and with a great speed he built up the Greek Empire, right? And God knew all that already, and through the prophet Daniel he revealed it. Remember, God is the one who is, who was, and who will come. And like Isaiah says about Cyrus, the first king of the Persian Empire, God knew already long time before. And he ordained that Cyrus, the king Cyrus, will release his people from Babylon to return to Jerusalem. God ordained it. God decided that. It's not decided by people. And afterwards comes the Greek Empire, right? And then the Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was influencing the whole world in that time. That's why Greek became the main language, the principal language. And afterwards came the Roman Empire. So remember how Daniel even prophesied what happened after the death of Alexander the Great. After he died, they split his empire into four kingdoms, right? And God knows all that because he created everything. That's why he's God. He knew everything. He knew of Alexander the Great. And then the Roman Empire, the time where our Lord came, and especially the Caesar Augustus. Without the Caesar Augustus, Joseph and Mary would have stayed in Galilee, right, in the northern part. But he gave this command that all need to register. They need to register where they came from, in the city of their birth. And that's why Joseph and Mary had to travel down to Bethlehem. Otherwise, how would God fulfill the verse in the prophet Micah chapter 5? He fulfilled it through the Caesar Augustus. And he was a good Caesar, right? God knew everything ahead of time. And the whole world in that time was controlled by the Roman Empire. And it lasted a long time. So as these two long legs, it was divided in the Eastern Roman Empire and the Western Roman Empire. And it was developed until the feet, right? And we see and realize that the properties of these two feet, it is represented by clay and iron. Clay stands for men, right? And iron is a solid, a hard material, meaning the power. So democracy means the strength and the power of the people, people's power. This means democracy. So the multitude, the people are ruling. And still, the nations cannot be one. That's why there are many nations in the age of democracy. So through this simple statue, God knew everything already, described everything. Only God has such a wisdom to show the whole history in one statue. Could you do that, Simon? It is so simple. And you see, from gold to iron and clay, it is the That means the authority of the government is becoming harder and harder. Gold is soft, but more precious, more valuable. But the iron in the feet is hard, very hard, but not precious anymore. Look in Germany. Our dear brother here, Henry Fichtner. You know exactly how fallen everything is here in this country. It is not only here in Germany, but everywhere, but especially in the U.S. I also live in the U.S., and I'm grateful for that, so I can see everything that is happening. Can you imagine the Second World War without the U.S., both in Europe as well as in Asia? What would have happened to this world? God used the U.S. as a policeman for this world, so to say, to stop communism in Eastern Europe and also in China. Without the U.S., you could not imagine what these two nations would do and would how they would act. When Trump came, China had to bow down. They had to pay their duties, their taxes. And also Europe had to pay their part, had to pay their contributions to NATO. Because in the past, they didn't pay at all. Although they should pay, right? It is indeed, it is truly like that. That's why they hate this man. Because this man is doing things right. And especially the globalists. You know, the globalists could not rule over this world when this man is in power. That's why they hate him so much, without any reason. They hate him without any reason. Just like the Lord Jesus, when he was on this earth, everybody hated him. Why? Why? What did he do? He wants to save humanity. But Satan wants to conquer everything. And we know all that, right? I don't need to explain. So in the end, they got rid of him and crucified him, right? So the question is, why? Why does the end of democracy in the U.S., why when the U.S. is collapsing, then who else can stop the globalists? Nobody can. When the U.S. falls, all the nations will fall. This is my answer to your question. It is not because the U.S. is so important. No, God installed this country to keep peace, to keep the peace. Therefore, that's why in the end, when this stone, which is the Lord Jesus, when he comes down to the earth, he will not hit the head. We think if it hits the head, the whole thing will collapse. But no, it hits the feet. It hits the foot. And this also is a sign that the end is coming. Remember how we said God has fulfilled Luke chapter 21, verse 24. If you see that Jerusalem is not trampled anymore under the foot of the nations, under the feet of the nations, then the time of the nations are fulfilled. So from the year 1967 and the Six Days War, when Israel won this war in a wondrous way, all the nations, the surrounding nations, a big army was fighting against Israel in that time. But Israel won. And at that time, they reconquered Jerusalem. And it's not anymore under the control of the nations. And this also is a sign that the times of the nations are fulfilled. And from that time until today, we don't see any proper government, any proper administration anymore. Even now in the US, imagine this guy who sits in the White House. The whole world is laughing at him and despises him. He can't even finish one sentence without a mistake. And after the speech, he doesn't remember where the stairs are. How can such a man be the president? Can you imagine that? If I were like him, I would be embarrassed. I would be ashamed to be the president. I would say, Toby, you be the president. I'll go home. You call in the US, you call the Department of Justice. They call it now the Department of Injustice. Can you imagine that people want to abolish the police? Would you want to live in Stuttgart if there's no police here, if they abolish the police? Then who will rejoice if there's no police? Marita, who will rejoice? All the criminals will. But they want to do that over there in the US. Which reasonable person would do such thing? Remember, it's not just the craziness. It is made on purpose. And the one who stands behind all that is this comet of the devil, the satanic comet. Comet. But what is important to see tonight, as our brother showed, God doesn't want to hide the second coming of his Son. He wants the whole world to know. God is not like Satan, who is hiding and doing things in hidden. What God is doing, he's doing it in public, openly, so that the whole world knows. The people don't know the Lord Jesus, but they see the solar eclipse, right? They see how these heavenly bodies are moving in such a wonderful way. Even if they don't believe that God created everything. When the Lord Jesus was on this earth, he commanded the storm and the wind to stop, be calm, and they stopped immediately. And the disciples were amazed that even the wind and the storms hear his command. Don't you think that all his creation listens to him? He doesn't need nuclear bombs. Because the whole creation listens to him. Even the locusts hear to him. Also the frogs, they listen to him. Everything listens to him. Only the man does not listen. Because God gave man a free choice. They can harden their hearts and even be against God. But I've never seen a dog who is against God. Or did you see anything like a dog? Did you ever see a dog rebelling against God? Even the monkeys are not against God. But they claim that we come from the monkeys. If they say, I come from a monkey, I would be offended. I'm not like you. So it's about man. It's about the humans. Because God predestined man to rule over the earth. Who else should rule over Germany? If not the people here. But man is fallen. So Satan will also use man to fulfill his plan. And as our brother mentioned, 2 Thessalonians, that the one who is to come, he is called the man of lawlessness and the man of sin, the son of corruption. And he's called the beast. You know, man is even worse than the animals. I've never seen an animal that invented weapons to kill all the other animals. Have you ever seen such thing? Have you ever seen such an animal? A world war among the gorillas. It never happened. But men, they kill each other. Since the time of Abel, Cain killed his brother. And today, nowadays, look at the hatred. The animals, they don't know hatred. That's why we need to show all these signs of times, not just for ourselves, but for all humanity. And we can use these signs to preach the gospel. Because the people, they don't understand God. They don't see God. Where's God? But they see all that happening. There must be somebody who determined all that. And who is that? Who is this somebody? Which president can decide such things? It must be God. In Switzerland, they use trillions to build this CERN. It's like a research facility to create the smallest particles, to kind of create the Big Bang in small. And there are at least 1,000 scientists and a huge facility, but they don't believe that God created the world. That's why the Bible said the wisdom of man is the foolishness of God. The smarter we are, the more foolish we become. And we do foolish things. We do stupid things. We invent even nuclear bombs to destroy humanity. Is that not foolishness? Is that not silliness? It's evilness, actually. I call it evilness. But the Lord wants us to know that the time is ending. At that time already, I told the saints, God gave man 6,000 years to rule. You want to rule? Okay, 6,000, six, the number six is the number of man, right? Because man was created on the sixth day, right? So, okay, God said, I will give you 6,000 years to reign. And in the end, what did they do? How do they rule over the earth? Even among Christians, we fight and argue without any reason. God should be our peace. At the cross, he destroyed all enmity, like Ephesians chapter 2 says, and destroyed the wall of separation. But we rebuild it. Isn't that a shame? That's why we have such a desire that he would come back to install, to bring his kingdom of righteousness and peace. Who else could do that? Which country, which government, who could do such a thing? He is the King of peace and the King of righteousness. And without righteousness, there will not be any peace. That's impossible. That's why he is our high priest according to the order of Melchizedek, the King of righteousness and the King of peace. In this world, there is no righteousness. Therefore, there is also no peace. As you have said, Satan interferes in all these things. Didn't John say, the whole world lies in the hands of the evil, and God wants us to take it away from his hands. We Christians, we have this job to do, but we don't cooperate with God. We are even so separated and fighting among each other. Our heart hurts when we see that. But praise the Lord, this is the solution. His return. Don't you have this desire that he would come back soon? That's why, in the beginning of the meeting, I called this hymn. Our Lord will soon return. This is so wonderful. Let us sing that one more time. Shall we sing it one more time? Or shall we sing this other song? Lord, when do you appear? Lord, when dost thou appear? Excuse me, I haven't spoken German for a long time. Praise the Lord. Let us sing this song before we end the meeting. It is song number 326. Let us sing this with a deep longing for the Lord to come back.